How's my fika friends this morning? Are you all recovering after Valentine's Day? I hope so. Well, good cup of coffee, and I'm still wearing red. There's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Good cup of coffee this morning. Isn't it funny how some days coffee just tastes better than other days? It's just you need a cup, you know, and I don't think it's the caffeine. It's just you just need that taste. But anyway. Let me share a few announcements with you. First of all, the supper tonight. This is Wednesday, and it's going to be a great Wednesday here. A great, great Wednesday. And it's our family night, so we're doing the community dinner again, of course, and that's at 5:15. And I saw what they're serving tonight. I'm not kidding you. They're like pork loin slices, which look like a pork chop, you know? And there's a special kind of a mustard sauce kind of thing. I don't know. I just saw it and it looks really good. And roast potatoes. It's going to be a good meal. So be sure you get here tonight. You'll be glad you did. So that's the meal. And then there's Bible Buddies. And then there's the youth group that Bill leads. And then there's a really neat presentation tonight. A guy by the name of Usama. Who grew up in Egypt, and his father's a pastor in Egypt, actually. And he's going to be here tonight. He has a radio broadcast that some of you maybe listened to. And he's traveling up here and going to be spending the evening with us. And he's actually translated the Quran as well. And so he's familiar with Islam, he's familiar with Muslim culture. If you know, Egypt is Muslim and Christian there, and in fact some of the earliest Christians were found in Egypt, you know. I remember it's a fascinating thing. And tonight he's going to be talking to us and answering questions and interacting with us about Egypt. Now I've taken some tours to Egypt and hosted some tours, and I have to be honest with you. I said I would never take a group again to Egypt. And the only reason for that is Egypt is a place that's very third world in the sense of when you're in Cairo, it kind of reminds you of being in New Delhi or something where people are crowding and there's just a sometimes as Americans we kind of panic in those settings. And that's the only reason I say that. From a biblical and a historical standpoint, Egypt is a wonderful place to go. But you got to kind of be ready to experience Egypt. It's not like experiencing Israel or other nations of the world or other Western nations, I should say. And so anyway, tonight, if you're interested in Egypt, if you're interested in the interaction of Islam with Christianity and what it would be like to live in a setting like that, then you should be here tonight. I think you'll really enjoy it. The other thing, talking about travel, is once again, I want to talk to you about the tour next fall in September, actually, September 14th through the 24th. Cheryl, my wife, and I will be hosting with a couple of pastor friends a cruise to Greece and to Turkey. Now, this is really interesting what's happening in Turkey, and I'm trying to figure out how that impacts where we're going. And remember, when you see the earthquake, that's one localized part of Turkey, not all of Turkey. And so it's going to be fascinating being in Turkey for that reason as well in September. And we'll land in Rome and board our cruise ship. And then during the day, when we're in Greece and Turkey, we'll be getting off the cruise ship and going to different biblical sites. And of course, this is a study of the journeys of Paul. So you'll be going to many of the towns that have been excavated, and you'll see where, just many of the New Testament books, where those bodies of believers met, and some of their churches actually, and then through history, where believers met. It's going to be a really fun trip. And so, if you're interested, call our church office here, Barnum Community Church, and we'll get a brochure out to you because we'd like to get you registered. There are a number that are going, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This is a real, I'm calling, Cheryl and I are calling it a capstone trip for us. I've done many trips to Israel, and I've, been able to do ministry in different parts of the world. And this trip, I think, is going to be a real capstone of biblical study, as well as just seeing a part of the world that I've never seen. So get in touch with me if you're interested in that. Well, what are we doing today for Holy Fika, the day after Valentine's Day? Well, you'd think we'd be putting stuff away. I noticed on our home, things were starting to be put away already at bedtime last night. It was funny. And some of you will keep your Valentine's Day things up maybe for another week or two. Some of you, they're gone today. But I want to think about Valentine's Day, even the day after Valentine's Day. I actually have two cookies left. These are great cookies. These are Panera. And Panera doesn't pay me to say that, but these are Panera cookies, and my goodness, they're hefty cookies, and they're really good ones. And I have two left. So if you would have been here, I would have shared one with you today. I'm not going to eat both of them, but I may eat one of them. And the question that we're going to look at this morning as we meet for coffee is, does God still love me? Now, that's an interesting question for us, because I find when I visit with people, many people don't doubt that God is love, but they question whether God could still love them. Does he still love me? That's an interesting question when you've been married for a number of years. You might want to look at your spouse and you would wonder, but you don't really want to ask the question, if you were to do it over again, would you marry me again? Now that's an intimidating question. It really is. Would you still, after knowing me, commit your life again to me? Or in a friendship, after knowing me, would you still be a friend of mine? Because you see, there's something that comes with the honesty of knowing someone that causes us to reevaluate sometimes. First impressions are not always what someone is. Maybe you make a good impression, you make a great first impression when you meet somebody, but you know that in your heart, what they just saw was only a surface glimpse of who you are. And if they really knew who you were, maybe they wouldn't be as excited about knowing you. And so we live in that fear of people really knowing us, and we spend our lives covering up the real us because we're afraid if someone knew the real us, they maybe wouldn't love us. So it's an appropriate question today. The day after Valentine's Day, does God still love me? Does God still love me? See, the question isn't whether someone loves you on your wedding day. You know that they declare it, they do. But will they love you on your fifth wedding anniversary, your 10th wedding anniversary, your 15th, your 20th, your 25th, your 50th? Will they still love you? That's a great question for us to be thinking about. Does God still love you? Because what I want to say to you today, and I want you to hear this so clearly, because I believe it comes from the very pages of Scripture, God still loves you. Last week we were talking about God's love for us. We talked about how he loves us with this unending love. But the day after, does he still love you? Why do we question it? Well, I wrote down some things. Sometimes we doubt that God still loves us because we know ourselves. We know when we look in the mirror what we're looking at. We see beyond what people see when they look at us. So we doubt that God may still love us because we know ourselves so well. We doubt that God may love us because we screw up. Not only do we know the fabric of who we are, we know our actions. And frankly, sometimes we feel kind of filthy and dirty about our lives. We do something and we just feel dirty, you know? And so we wonder, does God still love us when we feel dirty and filthy? Or maybe we'll say, does God still love us when we're so unworthy? We begin to capture this glimpse of God's love, and we begin to realize the greatness of his love, the fullness of his love, the completeness of his love. And when we see him in the reality of who he is, we see our own unworthiness. When we read the Old Testament and New Testament, we see frequently that when people encounter the presence of God or catch a glimpse of God, or when people caught a glimpse of Jesus, they would find themselves falling on their faces before him. When people had encounters with God in the Old Testament, they fell on their faces and didn't even want to look up, because in light of the glory of God, they realized who they were and the unworthiness that you feel. When you begin to catch a glimpse of God, when you seek him, now hear me carefully, when you begin to seek God seriously, and God reveals himself to you, which he'll do. He is a God that reveals. He is a God of revelation. He is a God that wants us to know who he is. And so he pulls the curtain back and we begin to see who he is, and we see our own unworthiness in light of who he is. And we say, can God still love me? Does God still love me? Does God still love me because I know what I'm made of? Does God still love me because I know what I've done? Does God still love me in light of my unworthiness before him? Does God still love me because he seems so silent right now? Sometimes God seems very silent in our lives. And when someone doesn't talk to you, you question whether they love you. You know what I'm saying? You wonder when someone won't or doesn't talk to you or separates themselves for you, they go silent on you, whether or not they still love you, because they won't engage with you anymore. And sometimes there is a silence of God in our lives. We don't seem to hear from him. We pray and it's like our prayers are hitting the ceiling, you know? Like, where is God? Why isn't he talking to me? What's happening? And so we question whether God still loves us. The other reason we question if God still loves us is because we really don't understand God's love in contrast to what are the different world's loves. And by world loves, those of you that we engage with each other a lot, whether it be the radio program or Sunday morning or whatever, you've heard me talk about the words for love that are found in the Greek language. And the human love that we're very familiar with, sturge, which, you know, is the love of a family, the filial, the love of friendship, eros, the sensual, or that which makes us feel alert and alive and excited. Those three loves, which are all part of the one word we have for love, which is love, and so we haven't distinguished between the fourth one, which is agape, God's love, which is a love of choice and a love of sacrifice. We really don't understand that in comparison to human love. So when we ask the question, does God still love us? We're talking in terms of, does God still love me like a friend? Does God still love me like a family member? Does God still love me in whatever way it might be? But we don't understand that when God says he loves us with an unending love, it is a love of agape, of his choice. It is a love that differs in a very major way. Now, hear me carefully. The love of God that loves you still is not a performance-based love, but a person-based love. See, most of the love that we experience as humans is performance-based. In other words, we love because someone has done something. They've performed in a certain way that pleases us, that meets a need in our life, that whatever it is, but we love them because of their performance. Agape love is not performance-based love. It is person-based. God loves you because of who you are created in his image. That's how he loves you. Your performance has nothing to do, cannot affect. God will not love you more or love you less because of your performance. He loves you because you are his creation. He loves you because you are made in his image. He loved you even before you were born, the Bible says. While you were being formed in your mother's womb, God was loving you already. You had done nothing. You were just forming, and God was loving you already. This is an amazing thing. And the reason we ask the question, does God still love me, is because we think his love is based on our performance. But when we begin to grasp that no, God's love is based on our person, then we can understand better and receive better and live better in the idea of, yes, God still loves me. But until we come to that place, we question it, and we wonder, and we doubt. Does God still love me the day after Valentine's Day? Does God still love me? So we look at God's love, and what we try to do is put the incomprehensible love of God into the comprehensible box of man. And that doesn't work, friends. You cannot squeeze the incomprehensible God into a comprehensible box. Don't try to do it. You'll never get it done. It's fruitless. It's worthless. It's wasted time. You cannot take that which is so large, so big, so incomprehensible, and put it down into that little box. Now, we've tried to do it for years. We try to do it. Different academic fields try to do it. Different people have tried to do it. We try to take God and box him up. And the first thing that you cannot box of God's is his love. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. So when we think of his love, you see, we can put our love in a box. Sometimes it's a gift to someone, it's a card to someone, whatever. But when it comes to the love of God, it's an unboxable. You can't do it. You can't do it. Does God still love you today? The day after Valentine's Day? Yes, he does. He still loves you. God still loves you even when people give you a bum rap. God still loves you when he seems silent. God even loves you when you miss his mark, when you don't meet the standard that he's set for our lives. In other words, when you've sinned. When you're feeling filthy, when you're feeling dirty, when you're feeling unworthy, all of those things that we've talked about this morning, God still loves you. So this morning, what are we excited about? What are we drinking coffee to? What are we saying cheers to? What are we raising the cup to today? We're raising the cup to God's incomprehensible love for us. Still. God still loves you. You know something I can say today, and I say this because some of you are watching right now at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. Some of you will be watching this tonight when you get home from work. Some of you are watching it at midnight. We watch to see when, you know, when numbers go up. And the smallest number of people that watch Holy Fika are watching them right now. And by Thursday or Friday, the numbers just go up higher and higher because you watch it when it's convenient, and that makes sense. Some of you right now are watching this on public access TV in Moose Lake, and you may be watching it 11 o'clock at night. Some of you are watching it right now are what we would call agnostic. You don't know if you believe in God, and some of you don't. Some of you are mad at God right now. Some of you are in doubt of God right now. Some of you say, I'm not a Christ follower. I don't even know if I want to be a Christ follower. But I'm going to tell you something. Are you ready? Buckle your seatbelt. It doesn't make any difference in God's loving you today. There's not one set of ears listening, not one pair of eyes watching. Whenever you're watching it, that I can't look at you right now. Say, God loves you still. He loves you still. And that's why he keeps offering you salvation, the gift of salvation, which is the gift of love, the gift of rescue, the gift of fullness of life now, abundant life, the gift of eternal life. The daily gift of the peace that passes all understanding and the joy incomprehensible. And the purposefulness of getting up every morning and knowing you've got a purpose. Friends, this is love. This is God's love. And he offers you all these things because he never stops loving you. See, it doesn't make any difference right now in God's love for you, whether you're loving him or not. He's still going to love you. He's going to love you and continue to seek to draw you to himself. And my question to you is, if God loves you still, if God still loves you on the day after Valentine's Day, why won't you love him back? One of the things that we learn in life is if someone loves us, that's an unbelievable gift. And it deserves our response. Respond to God's love today. He still loves you on the day after Valentine's Day. He will still love you tomorrow, 2 days after Valentine's Day. He will love you. He will keep loving you and wooing you and wanting you and inviting you into that love relationship with him. Friends, have another swallow of coffee and just bathe in the idea, the fact, and then the reality of God still loving you. He still loves you. Well, have a good day, my friends. Lord's blessing on you. I'm going to take my cookies with me. Talk to you later.